Welcome everyone to All About Windows Phone Insight podcast 221, recording this on the 3rd of July 2017. I'm Steve Litchfield. With me, instead of Rafe Blanford, we have a guest. We have Mr. Anthony Fear, back by popular demand. Hi there.
Hi, thanks Steve. Nice to be back.
Yes, and the first story on the rundown really is, I want to come to, is the fact that the Alcatel Idol 4, and we're calling it the Pro because that's how it's billed in Europe, has actually appeared on a retailer site for the first time. Now, this is all incredibly behind the times. Now, you were looking at the Alcatel Idol 4 with Windows 10, which is the most long and cumbersome device title ever. This is the back end, sort of autumn last year over in North America. And we're finally getting basically the same device almost a year later, and in a crazy smartphone world where specs accelerate at an alarming rate, and yet this device is somehow coming out expecting to compete and at a stupid price. I don't know whether you have any comments on this whole state of affairs.
Yes, I did see the price advertised. It was around €600, is that right?
Mm.
Yeah, which is incredible. I mean, and Alcatel is a European company as well, so how they can be so far removed from the market to offer the device at that price is incredible. It's just beyond me.
Yeah, but in terms of whether the device is any good, though, I mean, we did several takes at a review, but first of all, an initial review from you, and then a kind of a long-term review. But I presume, are you still using it as your main device, or have you reverted to a different?
No, I do still, I still use it as my main Windows device.
Okay.
So, yep, when I'm picking up a Windows handset, that's the one that I use. Now, I did actually, I did have an issue with it. It stopped charging properly. And I had a bit of a runaround from Alcatel US and Microsoft Store to get the thing fixed. But they did eventually get it resolved. But it had to go all the way to the US for repair and back.
I remember in one of your videos showed that there were problems charging. Is that related?
Yes. So in the video, I think I showed, strangely, a USB-C port or cable plugged in one way around.
Yeah.
Charged the device and plugged in another way around, did not. And that issue got worse and worse until eventually it wouldn't charge at all. So, yes, since I've got it back, I've had no issues. So
this listing for the Alcatel Idol 4 Pro is on a site called Cybercart, and it, yes, 600 odd euros. I'm just looking on Amazon.de, and I'll do this live, because what I'm expecting is that, yes, you might get a few importers producing this a couple of days ahead of the main Amazon site, and I'm expecting this to appear on Amazon Germany. That's the main place these European models tend to appear first. So this is a live test. Excuse the typing. Alcatel. You can tell what's going to happen, can't you? Idol 4 Pro. Absolutely nothing's going to happen because it's not available. And yes, just lots and lots of cases which happen to reference it and which are generic cases. So I think this Cybercart listing might even just be a one-off that someone's managed to import them for America and has rebadged them. We're just playing silly beggars. I cannot believe that one retailer has got an exclusive on such a niche device. It just seems very, very... Something's wrong with the story.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I hope so. Having said that, how much demand there would be for the device, regardless of price, is debatable anyway. Yeah. Especially after waiting this long.
Yeah, and I would argue that there would be some demand, but simply from the existing Windows 10 mobile enthusiasts, and there are a few of us around. I mean, maybe, I don't know, a million across the world, shall we say, as a conservative figure. People who have liked their Windows Phone, they've liked Windows 10 Mobile, they're frustrated by the fact that Microsoft has decided to stop making the blessed things, and along comes Alcatel with a device which is actually very good. As you pointed out in your review, well-made, great speakers, decent initial camera, and good, very good specs that still hold up today. It's just, but the thought of paying €607 is daunting. That's ridiculous. It needs to be €300 or €400 maximum.
Absolutely. Now, what's the what does something like the HP Elite X3 cost in Europe?
Well, then that's a crazy question. HP haven't dropped the price at all. HP are selling to businesses, though, and they know they can sell everything at top dollar. It's like selling to the military. You know, you can charge whatever you want because people have to come to you. I think that's a slightly lateral thinking comparison. But just looking at the specs, though, Alcatel Idol 4 Pro, brand new Windows 10 mobile phone for Europe. albeit it was in a different guise over in America. 5.5-inch 1080p AMOLED, Snapdragon 820, 4GB of RAM, 64GB storage, 21MP camera. And there's absolutely nothing special about that. These days, in mid-2017, you can get a smartphone with that spec for £200, £250 mm-hmm. or €300. And that's the price it needs to come at, especially as most people will be wanting an Android phone with all the ecosystem benefits to say, OK, we've got something the same specs. It runs an operating system that most of you won't be able to find the applications you need. Then it has to be at a lower price. I just
absolutely
think, yeah. Having said that, if it was even €400, I might think about getting one because I'd really fancy those JBL branded speakers, which I gather you're still impressed by.
Yeah, I am. I still continue to be impressed by these speakers. And now that I've experienced decent speakers on a mobile device, I miss them when I use anything else. Yeah, it's been a complete turnaround for me. That's been the one lasting impression that I've had from this device.
Yeah, just to correct that site name, it's Cyberport, which is a site I'd never heard of, obviously a European, I think it's based in Germany. It's just bizarre that just the one site has it and nothing else. And at this point, it's like a journalist seeking a second source for a story. Well, while this is only available on one site at one price, it's almost like a non-story. You can't confirm it. You can't confirm it's real, short of plonking down €607, I guess. But that really is a last resort. But anyway, very frustrating that A, it's coming so late, and B, it's so expensive. But if it comes this way, I shall, of course, have a Steve Litchfield look at it, not least to test all the usual things I test, including the camera.
Yeah, okay. Absolutely. I think you'd be pleasantly surprised by it, but only at the right price.
Yeah.
Not that good.
Absolutely. One of the reviews on the site during the last week or so was a guest review of Microsoft Teams. Now, this may be a non sequitur if you haven't tried it. Are you familiar with Microsoft Teams?
Yes, I know Microsoft Teams. I roll that out as part of 365 for some of my customers. Yeah.
Okay, what did you think of the review and what are your comments on Teams?
I thought the review was great. I guess for me personally, I think Microsoft's going through a bit of a Google-like situation at the moment where they've got so many chat systems and communication systems that it's hard to know which one to use at any given time. For us, Teams is promising, but with Skype for Business, with Yammer, using Skype for instant messaging as well as the video and calling services, we haven't found that niche yet where we need Teams. But I know that some other organizations who came from a Slack background are finding it more competitive. But the inconsistencies between mobile versus desktop and the other one that a lot of people are complaining about is guest access to Teams. The lack of guest access is holding it back. But otherwise, I thought it was a good review. It's interesting to see it develop. I would be interested to see how Microsoft restructures their whole messaging product range.
Yeah, I have absolutely no experience of Teams whatsoever, so I have to rely on Espen Dalsgaard, there's his name, and your good self in terms of how that product is developing. But there we are. As usual, Microsoft, I think, is putting more resources into the Android and iPhone and the web versions to time with Office 365 and perhaps not putting quite as much effort into the UWP version, rather sadly. But at least it's coming along. Now, I put up a feature in the week called Microsoft's Continuing Commitment to 10 Mobile Means... .. And what I was puzzled by, Anthony, is why if Windows Phone / Windows 10 Mobile really is dead, if Microsoft has decided that's it, we're not doing anything more on this operating system, we're putting all our efforts on desktop and we're not making any more of, you know, hardware, blah, 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 why are they bothering every single week, without fail, to put out a new fast-string build and developing Windows 10 Mobile on this feature, quote, feature 2 branch? Why are they putting the effort into even release the builds and test it and have enthusiasts like ourselves install them and pass comment if they're not going to do anything with it? And my two theories, and come to your comments in a moment, my two theories are, one is just Microsoft is trying to keep their hand in on ARM chipsets and make sure that the mobile stack and all the connectivity stuff is absolutely rock solid, because they are going to reuse it at some point in the future with a re-entry into the mobile space using Surface phone, Surface phablet, whatever. Theory too was, I just wondered whether they were being forced to keep it going because of commitments to partners such as Hewlett-Packard. But what's your thoughts?
Yeah, I think you've probably hit the nail on the head there. I would imagine that HP did not enter into this partnership without getting some commitment from Microsoft on their long-term support. So I have to think that HP secured a time frame, and that probably this branch is a result of that. Having said that, they must keep their finger in the game. They've got to keep some of these features ticking over, and why not continue to test them on insiders like ourselves rather than just going completely quiet and offline?
I
think you're probably right. It's probably a combination of those two.
I agree. I think what will happen is that the HP Elite X3 will see the quote feature 2 branch emerge into whatever Microsoft is going to call Redstone 3 or Redstone 3's equivalent for that Elite X3, and they'll then say to HP, there we are, we've delivered our next major update, this is what we're calling it, here it is, full device, fully tested by insiders, and that will come out in the autumn. As to which other devices also officially receive on a production brand, a production ring, if you like, whatever feature 2 evolves into, my guess, Anthony, is actually that only the Elite X3 will get this because of the aforementioned commitment thing, and that it'd just be up to enthusiasts like ourselves to play around with this branch on the likes of the 950 and even the Alcatel Idol 4. Does that sound about right?
I think so. I'm not sure that it will be just HP. I would expect that any other vendors that committed to making mobile devices, hopefully Alcatel would be one of those.
Okay.
And what was that other? There was another device that it was rather expensive when it came out and didn't gain much traction. Wasn't an Asus device, was it?
It was, yeah.
Was Asus, okay.
So maybe Jade Primo.
The Jade, that's right, yeah. So maybe between those three vendors, Microsoft's had to make some kind of commitment and would honor that. I mean, the Alcatel in particular, it's still a fairly high-spec machine or device for what it does. So hopefully whatever feature 2 brings, it'll be capable of supporting.
Is your Alcatel on one of the Insider Rings, or is it on production?
It is, yeah. I keep pretty much all my devices on the Insider Rings. Yeah.
On the Fast Ring?
On the Fast Ring, yeah.
Yeah, I've been describing it in my stories as the Fast Ring used to be the really unstable, don't install this on your main device. But now it really has become, for Windows 10 Mobile, this is the one with more bugs fixed than any other status. This is the one you actually want, which is rather ironic. But even the Lumia 950 XL is still relatively highly spec. You may have seen my camera shoot out today with the HTC U11. So we're talking about an autumn 2015 phone competing and winning in a camera comparison with a mid-2017 imaging specialist smartphone, which is just amazing, really. And this is, again, why I'm so sad that Microsoft decided to stop selling it, because that 950 XL still has an awful lot going for it. And it's just so sad that people have to scrounge and find it in bargain bins these days.
Yeah, it is a shame. It seems almost like a self-fulfilling prophecy that the way Microsoft treated their Lumia division. You have to wonder whether it was deliberately killed rather than just letting it maintain. In my mind, similar to you, this was a good device. Okay, they were never going to ship high numbers, but they have other products in the Microsoft range that don't ship high numbers. Why not just keep it ticking over? Release a new cover on the back every year. But it's a shame. So it'll be interesting to see whether they actually do anything more with this, or whether they are completely done in mobile.
It's a completely different way to work, really. I mean, Nokia, which Microsoft acquired, the Nokia Devices division, Nokia had everything built on this worldwide system of factories and distribution support. They had a massive network, and all of it was dismantled by Microsoft after the purchase. And clearly Satya Nadella wants to go a totally different way to the way Bulma, who initiated the purchase, mm-hmm. the way he wanted. So Nadella's gone down a very, very different path. We still have the surface division. We're still hoping something will come out of this. But basically, all of that network, all of that distribution, all of that maintenance, all of that servicing, all of that manufacturing, it's all been sold off. But then again, at the same time, the whole smartphone world is changing in a similar fashion. We're seeing now manufacturers coming out in the Android world, for example, who can almost order smartphone components off the shelf from a Chinese OEM and then put it together and specify perhaps a custom finish or a custom logo and then say, here we are. Here's the Litchfield phone, here's the Fear mm-hmm. phone or whatever. Mm-hmm. And there's not that much work that goes into it. In the old days, you would have to spend months, if not years, designing, developing, training up staff in factories and service centres. It cost hundreds of millions of pounds, dollars or euros to make a smartphone and support it. These days, you can kind of say, okay, well, I'm throwing 10 million at this problem and I want to produce 10,000 smartphones. And you can order all the bits almost off the shelf and people will make them to order, which is a very different way to having to have your entire own worldwide network costing 100 times the amount.
Yeah, I agree. I can see that. But having said that, if you look at some of the expertise that was developed by Nokia, I mean, imaging being the primary example, yeah. They were years ahead. Even now, a device that's 18 months, 2 years old is still competing and beating some of these generic products that are being pushed out from some of these factories. So I think Microsoft really lost an edge there. Again, I wonder, because the rumor says that Satya was totally against the Nokia purchase. So you have to wonder whether when he took over, it was kind of I was against this and I'm gonna throw it away, you know, and prove just how bad a purchase it was, instead of trying to make a go of it.
Yeah, it's very tempting to throw some kind of a UK political analogy in there, but I'm going to steer clear of that. In terms of comparison with for example, with the 950 XL, which is a Snapdragon 810, etc., etc., comparing that to modern-day smartphones, I've done a couple of other just general comparisons. The OnePlus 5 springs to mind. I did a head-to-head, not just in imaging, but in terms of right across the board with the OnePlus 5, which is brand new, launched to retail last week, and I managed to get my hands on one. And comparing all of these 2017 smartphones with the Lumia 950 XL, the Android phone, even with my slight biased head on, I have to admit that the Android phones, they do come out on top overall, if only because of the ecosystem and the fact that the maps work better and the updates system is rosier, all of those factors. But that 950 XL, I'm sorry to keep bashing at the same gong here, but it's not that far behind. As long as you're all in on Microsoft and you're happy with the Windows 10, Windows 10 mobile ecosystem, if you're happy with the UWP apps, etc., then I would say the 950 XL it would still beat many Android phones. It's just the applications in the ecosystem that ought to always pull these competitive devices further ahead.
Yeah, and I think that's exactly it. I mean, for me, as an example, I am fully committed to Microsoft products. I don't use many other products from other vendors, so I'm not really in on the Google suite. So it really is a fair comparison. I'm not a big Snapchat user I'm not a typical mobile user. I guess I'm quite a dull mobile user. But, you know, for productivity, there really isn't much between the devices, especially if you're sticking to the Microsoft products. But when you see Microsoft themselves not committing to developing apps, first-party apps for devices or for the Windows mobile devices, it does make your heart sink a little. And then at some point, you have to accept that that's not the way the market's going, and that it makes more sense, even economically, to go and purchase a device that's running iOS or Android and not stick with the Windows mobile devices.
Yeah, you mentioned earlier that when you reach for a Windows 10 mobile device, you reach for your Alcatel. That kind of implies that your main smartphone at the moment isn't a Windows 10 mobile device. So what is your main SIM card in?
Actually, I picked up the new BlackBerry Key 1.
Okay.
That's my main device. My main SIM is in that.
And have you Microsoftified it?
Absolutely. Yeah, I couldn't. I haven't gone crazy like I normally do with an Android device. I haven't gone and used the Arrow launcher But I have installed all the Microsoft tools and productivity apps that I normally use. And again, for me, I miss the interface, but quite honestly, using an Android phone is just as productive. Yeah, in this day and age, there's really not much to force me. I mean, in fact, there's no reason. There's nothing forcing me to go back to a Windows mobile device. It's just personal preference. I still, even to this day, I prefer the interface on Windows 10.
Yeah. How are you finding the keyboard and using a physical keyboard again after so many years of touchscreens?
Well, you see, I never used a BlackBerry, so I never had a physical keyboard device ever. So this was, I was a little hesitant to go down that road. What I'm finding is that as I've gotten used to it, I'm slower to type, but more accurate. So, yeah, I like it. It's grown on me. The productivity is the primary focus for the device, and that was the reason that I got it. I just wanted to see if a device could make me more productive, and I think this one has.
The secret, of course, I would argue, playing devil's advocate, is that you're more productive because you're less likely to get distracted by sort of large full-screen videos and games, which is there's always the rat hole I go down, and I look something up on YouTube, and then half an hour later I realise I've wasted half an hour watching YouTube videos. On a key one with a 4-inch screen and a physical keyboard, you're much more likely to stay in portrait, stay getting on with things that actually do something useful, and less likely to get distracted.
There may be some truth in that, but I don't game on my mobile devices. If I'm going to watch a movie, I tend to watch it on TV. I really never watch movies on a mobile device either. So I don't miss that big screen. And what I am finding is that what I tend to do, which is Twitter or emails, or I'm using some applications for monitoring 365 or Azure, they're all really productivity focused. I'm finding that this device, despite being kind of very medium spec, is making me more productive.
Do you have, changing topic, do you have a Lumia 830, 930 or 1520?
I have a 1520, yeah.
Ah, because there is news on that. I want to finish with one story that's going back to Windows 10 Mobile and Windows Phone. The 1520, of course, started on Windows Phone 8.1. Then, obviously, the highest spec Windows Phone 8.1 device, very easy upgrade to Windows 10 Mobile. But then Microsoft famously said, OK, well, creators update officially for you. Anybody with any of these older processors, which is rather a shame because that 1520 is still pretty powerful. But as we've documented on the site, the release preview ring has been enabled for all of these devices. So, and just note that in the last couple of days, we've had a new release preview ring to build 15.06.3.447. So that's the creators update and quite a number of bug fixes, really. So all of those devices, 735, 830, 930, 1520, basically can stay pretty darn up to date. The creators update does run smoother than the anniversary update. Would you agree with that? That the CU is smoother and easier to and better to use than the older version?
Yeah, as these updates are coming out, I'm pleasantly surprised by some of the things they fix, and they do seem to be generally making things smoother. I hadn't noticed so much by staying constant, but I had to reset a couple of devices, and I noticed then when I went back to some of the earlier builds, then I really noticed the difference. The 1520 was a fantastic device. I still love that device, and one of the reasons is because it was so big, it was easier to type, and that's where I think Microsoft perhaps let themselves down. If they'd concentrated on enterprise and focusing on productivity and business customers, maybe they wouldn't have suffered quite so badly. I mean, BlackBerry would have been a much better purchase for them than Nokia.
Yeah, I still think Nokia soured the waters by releasing so many budget end phones, almost indistinguishable from each other, and there's just a sea of cheap Windows phones. So Windows Phone became known as the teenager's budget phone, and these wonderful devices, the 920, 930, and 1520, and so forth, were being just forgotten and just utterly niche outliers, whereas they could have been the flagship, the thing that Nokia was centered on, and ultimately Microsoft then inherited. And I think all that was kind of lost in this morass of cheaper ultra plastic, ultra limited devices.
Yeah, and certainly their Microsoft Surface brand seems to be gaining gaining a reputation as a premium brand. And yeah, maybe if they concentrated on that. But oh well, we are where we're at.
Yeah, I'm just looking at the main changes and fixes for this latest creators update on the release preview ring. Highly, highly recommended for all those devices. That addresses an issue causing high memory usage for the camera app, and all of us, which of us haven't had our device getting rather warm and then found out that the camera app was open in the background and misbehaving. So hopefully that's fixed. Bluetooth connectivity to wearable devices is a big thing. Now, I rather scaled down my smartwatch ambitions, but apparently lots of people with, for example, the Garmin and Fitbit devices, this adds a GAT server, if that makes sense, and this really improves the Bluetooth connectivity to wearables. So again, these are rather big things, and they're coming in to anybody with any of these devices as long as they stay on this release preview ring. And this is completely a secret to the outside tech world, Anthony, because the stuff we're talking about is real inside baseball. Most people in the tech world hardly even remember the Lumia 930 and 1520, and yet you and I know that these devices are being kept alive, not just on life support, but they're being dramatically improved. There's actually a lot to talk about and a lot to enjoy.
Yeah, and it's interesting because you see some other devices from some of the Nexus range having hard stop support dates released, you know, which seems a little harsh for owners of those devices. So yeah, in some ways it's kind of nice to get that support. I don't know if it's deliberate, but I appreciate it anyway.
Yeah, there's various charts on the site where I've tried to lay out where all the different devices, all the different Lumias over the last 5 years. Where they've ended up or will end up or where I'm guessing they'll end up, and it's all rather up in the air at the top end, as you can imagine. Not least that Alcatel. So I guess I'll know more, Anthony, when the 4 Pro actually eventually reaches one of the various Amazon sites around Europe, and then I can join you in enjoying those loud stereo speakers.
Yeah, was the North American version, were the bands no good for Europe?
Yeah, the bands were different. I could have used it, but only on sort of basic 3G. I think the LTE bands were different. Okay. And it seemed a shame. I mean, you're welcome to lend it to me and send it across the Atlantic. But it seems rather harsh to deprive you of your main Windows 10 mobile device. And especially if it's not really going to run at full speed when I'm out of the house. So.
Right.
But I'm keeping an eye on that one, obviously. Okay. We're kind of out of time. We try to keep it to half an hour, although Rafe and I never seem to manage it. But you and I seem to keep things tight and efficient. So do you want to plug where people can find you online?
Absolutely. So you can find me on Twitter. That's where I post most of my musings, at Anthony Fear.
Okay. Would you, a particular app pick? This throwing you on this on you on the spur of the moment. Is there a particular application other than Teams which has impressed you in the last 7 days?
Gosh, on Windows Mobile, I'm trying to think what I've downloaded recently. I've been rebuilding devices, but I don't think I've tried out any new apps. I would give a plug again for my favorite podcast or podcatcher, which would be Grover Pro. Absolutely love that. Love that app. I'd like to see that come to some other platforms. But no, actually, I don't think I've installed anything else in the meantime.
Yeah, I mentioned it because in the show notes for last week, and I'm not sure whether Rafe and I really got to it, was a whole barrage of UWP apps from one particular developer, including clients for Flickr and Twitch, the game streaming, and various others. So I do encourage you, Anthony, to go and actually read some of the extra stories on the site over the last fortnight.
No, you know what? I did see them, and I used to use Flickr, but when we lost first party app. I find myself sort of transferring everything to another service and then I don't need it anymore. So, but yeah, maybe I'll pop back and take another look.
Yeah, they're all very well done. And I do like to highlight any good UWP apps. And on that very subject, as I say goodbye, if you're out there listening and you have a particular recommendation of a UWP app for Windows 10 that I haven't covered yet, then do please drop me a line, slitchfield@gmail.com, and I shall endeavour to cover it and review it if it's major enough. In the meantime, thank you very much for coming on, Anthony.
No, thanks for having me. Good to be on.
And we will catch you next week. Hopefully Mr. Blandford will be back. Bye for now.